2021 Amherst Town Council meeting to order. Next two items on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance and the invocation. If everybody would please silence their phones. After the Pledge of Allegiance, Mr. Watts will lead us in the invocation. All rise, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you tonight for the opportunity to come together to do the people's business and to conduct ourselves in the manner that you would have us do so. Lord, I want to say a special prayer for the people that in our midst that are sick and the residents of our town who may be suffering from COVID or financial difficulties or whatever it may be, Lord. Lord, I ask you to guide us tonight to do your business in the way that you would have us do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, next item is the public hearing for the budget. Ms. Carter, do you have anything you would like to say before I open the hearing?
If anything, I would just want to clarify for council and for anyone who is there is that this budget amendment is really for the purpose of making sure that we have clearly enumerated where spending is going from the CARES Act money and from the utility CARES Act money. Nothing that is being done in this budget is any kind of new expenditure in terms of what is different than the decisions that have been made. It's really a desire to be fully transparent about how that money is being accounted for through the different line items and applying those expenditures into our uniform chart of accounts.
Okay, thank you. With that, I am opening the public hearing. Major Horror, will you step out, please, and check the list out front to see if anybody is on?
Don't have anyone.
Thank you, sir. Okay, with that, is there anybody called in? Has anybody called in?
Sarah, did you get any emails?
I have not received any emails on this matter.
Okay, thank you very much. So the public hearing is closed. Ms. Carter, the recommendation for accepting this comes from the Finance Committee?
That's correct.
Okay, that being a fact, there is no second needed since it comes from committee. Is there any discussion? No discussion. Roll call vote. Ms. Carter?
Aye.
Mr. Bunch?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Ms. Wheaton?
No.
The vote is 4-1-0. And motion is carried. Next item, citizens' comments. Major, there was nobody outside or no citizens' comments, correct?
No, sir.
Ms. Carter, did you receive any emails?
No, sir, I did not.
Okay. Next item, consent agenda. Is there any corrections or anything? And we will accept a motion to accept the minutes from last meeting. Have a motion for Mr. Bunch. May I have a second, please?
I'll second.
A second for Ms. Turner. Any discussion? Roll call vote. Ms. Carter?
Aye.
Mr. Bunch?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Abstain.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
And Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Vote is 4-0-1. 4-4 and 1 abstention. Next item. Staff reports are attached. Is there any questions regarding staff reports? No questions? Move on. Ms. Carter, Finance Committee.
We've had no meetings and nothing to report.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Watts?
Same information.
Okay, planning commission had no meeting. No meeting for the IDA, nothing listed for the soil and water. Discussion items, moving right along tonight, discussion items. Ms. Kelly Hitchcock is here, we've each been given a handout. Ms. Hitchcock, if you would like to stand up and enlighten us.
Okay, I'm just gonna have it here on my computer so I can remind myself what I am.
That's.
Good evening, thank you for having me here this evening. I came to you guys, gosh, it seems a while ago, and unfortunately, if I recall, my PowerPoint did not work for you. But you know, this has been about a 20-month process with the COVID. It took us a little bit longer to develop this hazard mitigation plan. I'm just gonna quickly go over just a quick background of what the plan is, the key things that matter to you, what the strategies are for the town of Amherst, and then what the adoption process. Again, as you see there on your second page, the hazard mitigation plan is a requirement for FEMA to be eligible for a number of their program funding, their pre-mitigation, their pre-hazard funding programs. And the funding within those programs really is increasing as they're recognizing just the change in how the money spent on pre-disaster is proven to be very beneficial. You know, if you kind of do these things up front, the cost is less than doing it on the back end. And so what we have there, on that fifth page there, we have just quickly the process. Obviously, the first step at the top there is the organizing the planning process. You know, pretty standard with planning behind the public meetings. Then the second part is to assess the risks. That's when we looked at data. We had the Virginia Tech specialist and from the Center for Geospatial Digital Technology. And that's all that data that we looked at, and of the 20 hazards, how often have they happened? What is the probability? What is, you know, some karst is not something that happens in this area a lot, but what we heard from people, the things that you can imagine concern people, wind, weather, and flooding, right? Those are sort of the big three, especially for our area. So we looked at that, and then we developed those strategies, and then lastly, where we are at part four now, the adoption. And we want to talk about the stakeholder process. It was a comprehensive process. We had local government representatives from all the local governments representing the town, was your town manager, Sarah Carter, and then Greg with your utilities came to all the TAC meetings. But through the process, we met with Public Works. We met collectively with the county of Amherst and planning and schools and police and fire. And so they really could provide the input throughout. We also included Department of Forestry, Extension, and then we had our public process. And you can see every locality really put the information on their websites. And I'll come to the point sort of at the end where I show you, we had an additional public meeting. We met FEMA's requirements with two public meetings, but we really felt, you know, after COVID, when we came, we had a third public process just to make sure. I'll sort of point that out. And then we look at this page right here. It really comes down to what the plan is, right? It's where it's looking at your natural hazards and the hazards, and then it's looking at your community assets. I apologize, I'm used to doing with a presentation. You see this one right here?
This point's important.
Third point.
Yeah. And so, you know, the hazard mitigation is you're targeting this intersection between what the probability of these natural hazards are, what the history has shown, how often you've been impacted by these hazards, how much money has gone into people having to reimburse for tornadoes or those type of things, And then you look at those community assets, and it was a very deep dive as you if you looked at the plan, where they specifically looked at structures that are in flood areas. They looked at all of the probability and possibility for the impacts could be, and then they developed these strategies. And the plan itself is made up of these 7 chapters along with the appendices. The first chapter there, you can see an introduction. It is a long plan, 500 and some odd pages. So that introduction and that executive summary, those 9 pages in that executive summary becomes pretty important. The second chapter, community profiles, everything you know about yourselves, right? How many of you, your standard profile, demographics, growth areas, natural and built environment. And then the planning process that we always describe, the who, what, and when. Then you get to the meat of the document, which is chapter 4, that hazard information and risk assessment. That's really where you look at the individual description of the 20 hazards. You looked at the magnitude and the severity, the vulnerability risks, and the impacts. And that HIRA, that probability, was where you moved into those mitigation strategies. The 5th chapter is the capabilities assessment. I'll go over that in a second. That's the overview. Really looks at each locality's capabilities, because what a town's capabilities are from a staffing standpoint might be different than what a county's capabilities are versus what a city's are. And so it became very important to make sure that you establish strategies that were made sense based on what your capabilities for a locality were. So that's why that was done. And then the last part is the monitoring and the maintenance. That's the 7th chapter. And that becomes very important in earnest. That was really an area that FEMA pointed out from the last mitigation plan that was poorly done. That last mitigation plan that was done in 2013, while the localities were doing good things, you were making improvements, you were doing all sorts of things that should have that were benefiting your communities, but we weren't capturing that, and so we weren't monitoring and maintaining this plan, which will be done in this case, so that you can create the benefit that the plan should provide. Then the next page, I just want to talk about it's this page right here. It's to show you what the website is. It's www.cvhmp.org. It's a very comprehensive website. And you should have, you were provided the links and how you can see that in your summary. The website is very interactive. This is what you see when you go to the home page on that website. And the tabs at the top, you can see the individual hazards and the individual mitigation strategies. So I'm just gonna take you through as though we were clicking the website. So this is the home page. And if I clicked, and I wanna give you an example of what you see on the flooding page. And this type of specificity is for each of the 20 hazards. So what you hear here, what this is a screenshot of, is the flood page. And what's really important is to recognize on this left side, with each of the hazards, you can see the chapter and the individual information from each hazard. You can then see down at the bottom, you can see the resources and the relationships to other hazards. And then we can click onto the individual maps. And this is the next page is what you see within the hazard mitigation plan. We created dashboards for each locality. And that dashboard is information unique to the town of Amherst as it relates to the HIRA mapping and how many people have put in for reimbursements for what they might have had impact from floods or from storms. And this is really important for this plan because it sets a baseline so that we can maintain the changes, whether there's been more flooding events and those type of things for each of the hazards within the plan. And then also importantly, the plan provides specific information on vulnerable structures. This is just an example, obviously, for flooding. And you see this very specific map that is available within each of the hazards. And that's great to have it in a document. But what's more valuable is that on the website, on the hazard mitigation website, for every hazard, you can go to that website and you can do interactive mapping, which I can show you here, which allows you to hone into, this is a screenshot of the town of Amherst. And you can click each of these icons and it shows you what type of structures are within the flood zone or what are those areas that are in the dam inundation zones. And that becomes really important to Sarah and her staff and you as it related to developing the strategies to mitigate what could be the activities, which is the purpose of the plan. And so that is just really important to show that that type of capability, that type of assessment was done for each of the 20 hazards. The fifth chapter goes into what I was talking about, the capabilities assessment. It's really there saying, what are the planning structures that are already within each locality? It was looking at your ordinances. Those are what the consultants did. They looked at the legal capabilities, what each jurisdiction had. They looked at those administrative capabilities, the fiscal budgets, and then the technological capabilities. Again, which departments have their own GIS departments or which who have consultants. And then what we have here within each chapter was a capabilities assessment that was developed for each locality in concert with your town staff, and which is, again, another FEMA requirement. And then we get to the mitigation strategies. Those actions or activities that can be taken to mitigate. But it's really important to point out that the hazard mitigation plan and those strategies that are identified, they're not commitments. It's not a capital improvement plan. They're not something that's put in that a locality says we will do all of these things. They simply identify those things that could be done, and you know, if you're able to get funding, if the need arises, and that's why they're prioritized. When you looked at that list, some of the strategies, you know, have a low probability and a low priority. So some of them, you know, we might undertake these in 5 years. So that was why it was a very deliberate evaluation. You have your information and outreach, your public policy and actions, those activities that fortify buildings, which was something that was very much identified for something like your Rutledge plant, structural projects, and then natural system resiliency. And the important thing of the strategies too is that information and outreach, that's a pretty low dollar activity that can be done uniformly, so that the information to the public about having, you know, a backup during hurricane season in your house. The message we want for the region is the same message that's in Amherst, that's the same message in Appomattox. Those are very low-hanging, low-dollar things, but then you get to the higher dollar. And for Amherst Town, you saw there were 13 strategies that were identified unique to the town. And then lastly, where we are here, the plan was submitted to VDIM in October. As I said, even though we didn't need to, we had, I'm on this last page, sort of where we are. We had a third public process from October to November. We just felt that that was important, given that, you know, everything didn't flow quite as well as we had thought. It was submitted to FEMA, and they came back, and we received official approval pending adoption on January 22nd. And what that means is the plan is approved by FEMA. It's just now going out to be adopted by the localities. We then let them know which localities have adopted it. And once any locality has adopted it, you are then eligible to apply for funding through those programs. And the last portion, I just want to point out that it's a five-year plan, so you have eligibility. And once one locality in our region adopts the plan, the clock starts ticking the next day. So the town of Appomattox adopted the plan on Tuesday. So Wednesday, it's now 4 years, 364 days for the regional plan. And I'll entertain any questions.
Okay, I'm not sure we have any. Ms. Carter, is this something we need to vote on this evening?
Yes, sir, you have a draft resolution included in your packet. So Kelly has prepared that for each locality, and then that way she's going to be able to package up all those adoption resolutions and submit those to FEMA for final submission.
Okay. So with that, I will accept a motion to adopt the resolution. It's in our package, reference the hazard mitigation. I have a motion from Mr. Watts. Could I have a second, please?
Yeah, second.
A second from Mr. Bunch. Is there any discussion? Being no discussion, Ms. Carter?
Aye.
Mr. Bunch?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
And Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
5-0-0. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
All
right. Next item, Ms. Carter, the Wass Ferry Tank Generator Project.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As council remembers, in the water treatment plant renovation project, our original intent had been to include in that project a standalone generator for the Wass Ferry water tank. That is the water tank that supplies water to Sweetbriar College, and we've always felt like that was a public safety issue, that we do not have water to Sweetbriar if we have a power outage at that water tank. And as many of you know, power outages are more common on the south end of town than on the north end of town, so that can be a particular issue. We do have a generator we can take to that water tank and run it, but we just feel like for the long term sustainability of our system, that we should have a generator that stays there. When we bid out the water treatment plant renovation, that particular bid item for the lowest bid was twice as much as the other bidders, but we couldn't pull apart that bid. So we couldn't take the low bid for that one item, which would have been $150,000, but then use the low bidder for everything else. So because of that, and because of the fact that the overall bid was higher than what we had anticipated, we just let this part of that project go by. What staff would like to do is go ahead and take all the engineering work that we've already had done for this and resubmit this through the revolving water drinking fund process and see if we can get some of those revolving water drinking fund dollars, which normally they will grant us a significant portion of those back. The minimum grant funding that we've gotten from them in the past has been $150,000. So if we received that amount of money, we really don't think we would have a significant outlay of town capital to do this project. So this is really just checking with council before we put in that application, making sure you don't have any questions, concerns, or issues before staff proceeds.
Okay, does anybody have any questions from Ms. Carter? Okay, Ms. Carter, do you need anything from us to proceed, or is staff just going to proceed?
Or just no, sir, we will go ahead and work with our engineer and get that moving.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. All right, moving on. Matters from staff. Let's see. Major Harler, do you have anything?
No, sir.
Yeah, wake up. Ms. Carter, anything further?
No, sir. Thank you.
Ms. Hunt?
No, sir.
Ms. Tracy?
She's not saying anything.
Okay. And Mr. Barrett?
Just try to keep track on all these COVID policies and information from the governor's office on sustainability of our courtrooms and things of that nature. So other than that, Mayor, no, not nothing else right now.
Thank you, sir. Matters from council, Ms. Wheaton?
None.
Ms. Turner?
None.
Mr. Watts?
Yes, sir, one minor housekeeping item. Recently, we've had some health issues in town, and on two occasions, we did clean the main office. However, we've had two cases in a satellite building that we didn't need clean. And I think when we do this, we need to get uniform. We have a case in one of our facilities. We need to deep clean each one of them.
One thing I want to interject real quick before you finish.
Sure.
I'm finished. Oh, okay. The companies have been coming in. It's not a true deep clean. What they do is they clean all surfaces. They have that, I don't know what the word would be. Ms. Carter, what's the word?
They have a disinfectant spray that they use that kills COVID.
Yeah, I'm familiar with those.
So that's what that's what's happened.
Well, I guess maybe deep clean is the right word. I think we should need to be uniform with our buildings.
Okay.
We can have a case in those buildings.
So what you're asking is that from now for the foreseeable future, if
one of our employees has recently worked and comes down with COVID.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say health issues.
Yeah, health issues.
Related to the COVID pandemic.
Yeah.
That we will immediately contract the company and have them come in and do a spray the disinfectant and clean all surfaces.
That's what I think is only right.
Okay, is that's what you're asking?
That's what I'm asking.
Okay. Would you like to make that? And we want to, you know.
Does that mean any motion, Ms. Carter?
If we have a consensus from council that y'all would like staff to do that, we are happy to comply with that. I don't need a motion from council if there's just a general consensus.
Okay, and then I will ask for consensus. Is anybody opposed to this? If not, okay, then it's carried as a consensus, Ms. Carter. Okay, Mr. Bunch, do you have anything?
I do not.
And I do not as well. No more citizens to come in? Could you stick your hand up there to make sure nobody's standing in the lobby, maybe? Thank you, sir. I will accept a motion to adjourn. Wait a minute. I will accept a motion for recess until February
27.
So I will accept a motion to recess until that day.
I like recess. I'll motion that.
I have a motion for Mr. Watts. I have a second. I have a second for Ms. Turner. Any discussion? Roll call vote. Ms. Carter?
Aye.
Ms. Wheat?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
And Mr. Bunch?
Aye.